This should help us to realize that when life's inevitable problems approach, we dare not take our eyes off our loving Heavenly Father. We dare not do so. When we focus our life's gaze on our problems and difficulties, we lose our spiritual power. And then we open ourselves up to attacks of depression. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The key is to trust in God. The key is to keep your eyes looking into the Son, the S-O-N, at all times. A third lesson Elijah's experiences can teach us is this: physical stress can cause emotional stress. Physical stress can cause emotional distress. Just prior to this onset of depression, Elijah put his body through incredible stress. He had run over 100 miles without stopping. He was physically exhausted. And prior to Elijah's super marathon, he had put in a full day of exhausting ministry on top of Mount Carmel. So depression was inevitable because physical stress negatively affects our emotions. It negatively affects emotional health. People involved in military intelligence have known this for years and have used physical conditioning to change the emotional state of individuals. We call it brainwashing. And it basically gets people physically exhausted. They focus on wearing you out physically until mentally you go to pieces. That is kind of what happened to Elijah, and God knew that. And in verse 5 says that the first thing he did to help treat Elijah's depression was to minister to his physical needs, his physical fatigue. God fed him fresh baked bread and cool water and told him to go to sleep. And then he did this whole thing. He did it again. He let him sleep again. And you know, that's one of the most practical things any of us can do. I know in my own life, when I get tired, I get depressed. The two just go hand in hand. Take care of the physical body that God has given you. Don't abuse it. Quit driving it. Eat right, sleep right, and I hate the word exercise, which I don't do, but do it. Quit letting your body be pressured by the demands made upon you, because when your body becomes weak and ill, so does your spirit. Physical stress can cause emotional stress. And then a fourth lesson we can learn from Elijah is this: we are more susceptible to depression when we are alone. We are more susceptible when we're alone. Elijah was by himself under a juniper tree, wanting to die. Notice the feeling that he was the only one left. He said that a couple times. I am the only one that has not bowed the knee. He felt that he was all alone fighting for God. Any of us would wear ourselves out and become depressed ourselves if we thought we were the only one trying to do what was right and serving God. Loneliness is one of the greatest contributors to depression. We draw into a shell, we cut ourselves off from others, and we begin to feast on self-pity as we look at ourselves. And loneliness will destroy us. You know, it's hard enough to live and fight the Christian battle with the help of others. It's at least 10 times harder when we try to do it on our own. That's one of the reasons why God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. When we gather in Sunday school class of caring people, when we come into a church service in the house of God with Christians' friends, we draw strength from each other for life's battles. So when you are struggling with depression, don't go somewhere alone. That will only intensify the pain. Find Christian friends to be with so that they can minister to you. Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Then fifthly, Elijah's experience also shows that doing affects feeling. Doing affects feeling. Idleness breeds despair. Sitting in a cave alone with nothing to do but focus on your problems magnified Elijah's despair. So God got him out of the cave and put him to work. In verses 15 through 17, God told Elijah that he had a job to do. There's two kings that needed crowning, and there was Elijah's successor, Elisha, to appoint. And from this we can learn that when depression attacks, we should go somewhere and not simply dwell on ourselves. And you notice these are all opposite of what we're going to want to do during times of depression. We're not going to want to be around other people. We're going to want to be alone. We're not going to want to go to work. We're going to want to just lay there. We should get our bodies moving. Physical activity can be like an emotional medicine. You see, our emotions are rebellious at times. They don't take orders too well. I've told my emotions, stop being angry. Cheer up. You know what? It doesn't work. My emotions don't always listen to me. Don't feel sad. Be happy. It's difficult to control our emotions, but we can control our bodies. And forcing our bodies to do something that needs doing can have the effect of making us feel better. Our emotions are closely connected to our actions. We would say that when we are afraid, it's because we are acting frightened. If we're afraid, we're acting frightened. So what do? The thing to do is no longer feel afraid, but to do something fearless. Do something that overcomes your fear. When you go to the, I don't know if you're like me, when you go to the pool to swim, I just can't jump right in. I always marvel at those people that can just jump right in there. I got to test the water. I'll put my foot in and I'll usually say, it's too cold. I'll sit there in the sun, basking in the sun, enjoying the warm sunshine. Why would I want to enjoy the cold water? But then I see the kids and everybody else in there having a great old time. My will takes over. I force my body to go into the water, first just up to my knees, but then eventually all the way in. You know what? I didn't feel like swimming, and I still don't swim very well. I didn't feel like being in the pool, but I start having fun with the kids. I start floating, and pretty soon I feel like being in the water. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying is you've got to force yourself to do certain things. When you are depressed, when you are discouraged, you have to force yourself to take actions. Your emotions won't want you to do it. You won't feel like it, but you put the actions first, and then the feelings will come. So to help ourselves out of depression, we should do non-depressive things, even if we don't feel like them. Martin Luther would agree with this statement. He advised people with mild bouts of depression to ignore the heaviness. He said, a good way to exorcise the devil was to harness the horses and spread manure on the fields. In other words, he's saying, go to work. Do something productive, and you will feel productive. Doing affects feeling. And then a sixth lesson Elijah can teach us is that focusing on other people's worries helps you forget your own. Focusing on other people's worries helps you forget your own. In essence, God reminded Elijah that there was an entire nation that needed his ministry. I remind myself, I have a family that needs me. I have a church that needs me. And you have people that need you. And one of the great ways of helping ourselves with depression is to help others. Philippians 2:4 encourages us. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Dr. Carl Menninger once gave a lecture on mental health and was answering questions from the audience. Someone said, "What would you advise a person to do if that person felt a nervous breakdown coming on?" Most people thought he would say, "Go see a psychiatrist immediately," but he didn't. To their astonishment, he replied, "Lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find somebody in need, and help that person." To overcome discouragement, don't focus on yourself. Get involved in the lives of other people. We've listed tonight 6 lessons that we can learn from Elijah's experience with depression. But maybe the greatest lesson that the church can learn is to follow God's example in relating to people who battle with depression. God was compassionate in his treatment with Elijah. And far from criticizing him, our Lord allowed him to rest and twice sent an angel to feed him. And we must be just as compassionate in our dealing with people who suffer from emotional problems. We must have an underlying agreement with each other that the people who enter our church doors don't have to have it all together. They don't have to have it all together to come here and feel welcomed. You see, in a very real sense, every church is a hospital where people can come to find healing, where people can come and honestly admit their failures, where they can come and honestly admit to other people their struggles, where they can come and honestly admit, hey, I have burdens, and I cannot bear these burdens alone, where we would take on their burdens with them, that we might lift their load, so that they can leave and feel somewhat lighter. Jesus said, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So all courage, Christians should be like Jesus and encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak and be patient toward all men. What the emotionally wounded needed is for the body of Christ simply to be a place where they could come and feel loved, acceptance, encouragement, forgiveness, and compassion. A place where they will find grace instead of judgment. And this must always be a place where we point people to the source of hope and peace. There is no lasting peace without Jesus Christ. Psalm 42:5, the psalmist asked, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope, hope, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He realized that even though he was down, he was going to get up again. He was going to go through the tunnel. I shall yet praise him for his help. But he never lost sight of hope. We must lead people to the place where they have hope in God. I guess you could say that there are 2 types of people in the world. People who are drowning in despair without hope, and others who have called out to God and experienced his hope and his rescue. And as Christians, we're like the second group. We have experienced God's hope. We have experienced his rescue. We know from experience that the Lord will hear the cries of his people. And according to Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And we need to share that truth with a hopeless world. You are going to run into people who are depressed. You are going to run into people who are in despair. You are going to run into people who are discouraged. You have the hope that they need. Without hope, they will drown. But if you can offer them hope, they can start swimming again. They can make it. So you and I are to be the bearers of that message to this world who is in such despair. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? I don't know if anybody here is presently going through a time of depression or not. But I hope that you keep these notes for a time that you might experience some depression, or you might be able to help somebody else overcome their depression. I wonder tonight if we could just agree together that we will make this church, and you will make as an individual the commitment to be compassionate in your dealing with people who suffer from emotional problems. That when people come here, you will welcome them And as God allows you, you would encourage them. The Bible says that we should encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them. So tonight, how many of you would agree with me tonight, bond together tonight, that we as a church and you as an individual will be compassionate and offer hope to those who are in despair and hurting? Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, tonight we are just so grateful that you have rescued us. As we sang about this morning, you ransomed us. We are so grateful for that. We shudder tonight where we might be had it not been for the fact that somebody showed us the hope that we can have in you. And Lord, as we came to you, you rescued us, you saved us, you delivered us. Tonight we are grateful for that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be compassionate to those in need. Lord, you would help us to be loving, that you would help us to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, as you give us opportunity, we would offer a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Pray tonight if there is anybody here that is going through a time of depression, Lord, that you would minister to them as you ministered to Elijah, and that, Lord, you would give them the grace to be able to do some of these few truths that we learned tonight. Lord, that they would have the right actions and they would have the grace to do those actions. Give them the strength as well. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its mighty grace. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.